Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Thursday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in. Glad you're here. A little bit later in the program, we will talk to Larry Jordan, who is the president and CTO at Vitronix. They're talking about rail safety. It's a Bolingbrook company. Interesting things that they do there, but also just the future of rail transport, where we are in the country right now when it comes to freight and passenger trips and where we're headed and why it might be a great area for growth. So that's in the second half hour. We're going to start at the top with Ian Schur, a senior editor at CNET.com. He joins us on most Thursdays, if we're lucky anyway. Ian, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. All right, let's stay in your neck of the woods. You're in San Francisco, right? And it seems like San Francisco, I was going to say leads. Maybe leads is the wrong word. They go first anyway on a lot of things. They talked about banning facial recognition software not too long ago, and now they're banning the sale of Juul, the vape cigarettes in town.
They're actually going after all e-cigarettes in San Francisco, and it's a really fascinating thing to see happen. You know, there was this whole effort about a decade ago or more than that to get cigarettes kind of banned from a lot of public spaces, or at least from various restaurants. And now sure. We're starting to see it happen with electronic cigarettes as well.
Well, but if you can't smoke in a restaurant, you can't smoke a cigarette, I'm assuming you can't smoke an electronic cigarette. It's easy to put those restrictions on it. You can still buy a tobacco cigarette in the city of San Francisco. But the common council there, or the city council, they want to make it so you can't even buy an e-cigarette?
Yeah, essentially they're trying to ban all this stuff. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see whether or not they're able to, how this will hold up in the courts. You know,
right.
There's a lot of times that this stuff gets pushed back. And, you know, there's also this conversation about how, you know, part of the reason they're doing this is that these things are incredibly popular with young people. And there's been a lot of trouble and concern about how these companies are luring children in and creating another generation of smokers.
But the cigarette companies were accused of doing that, too, and there was a federal lawsuit, and they paid out a big settlement.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can, especially if you're going to allow cigarettes to be sold at the corner store, how you could legally ban e-cigarettes from being sold.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. I honestly don't have a good answer either. And frankly, from what we've heard from the San Francisco City Board of Supervisors, the way they've been talking, they haven't squared that circle publicly either. So it'll be interesting to watch.
So it's the Board of Supervisors, I should have been saying, not Common Council or City Council. And they've approved it, but the mayor hasn't signed it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll watch that. The former mayor of San Francisco.
Correct. As far as I know, last I checked.
It's what? Say that again?
I said it last time I checked that they hadn't signed it.
Okay,
the mayor hasn't signed it yet.
But has the mayor signaled how he will, if he will or will not sign it?
She has, you know, look, she tends to be very aggressive on social issues. When she ran as a pragmatist. And one of the biggest issues in San Francisco when she was running was around homelessness and how it was being handled.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to kind of cut the middle between a lot of the more extreme views. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how she lands on this, because no matter what she decides to do, if she decides to sign this, it's going to end up in a lawsuit, right? So
right.
The question will be whether the city's ready to defend that.
Gavin Newsom was the mayor of San Francisco, right? He is currently the governor of the great state of California, and he's been talking about this data dividend. Explain the data dividend and where we are on that. Is that something that's actually going to happen?
Idea, you know, the Gavin Newsom, first off, it's from, you know, you were talking about how as California goes, so goes the country. You know, Gavin Newsom is probably most famous for starting gay marriage mm-hmm. in 2004 and really defying the courts around that and issuing the first marriage licenses in San Francisco. So now he's trying to push the tech companies, and he's saying, look, I'm ready to really regulate them. And we have the story on CNET that's based on an interview he did with Axios, where he basically said, look, I don't want these companies to just be able to suck up all of our data and none of us realize the impact it has. And so he wants us to actually understand the value of our data. You know, if I give all this information to Facebook, he wants Facebook to tell me, hey, my data is worth $75 a year. And then that maybe I'll change my behavior if I know those things.
So this isn't so much about keeping Facebook from profiting on our data. It's about teaching us the value of our what we're giving away, and not just value monetarily, but when it comes to privacy, things like that.
Yeah, it's really about trying to force us all to think about these things, because I think a lot of people just push the OK button to log in and then they don't think about it. And now he wants to say, look, you know, punishing the companies is one way to take care of this, right? And certainly there's the FTC and the U.S. government are considering doing that. But the other end of it is human behavior, right? What are we comfortable with? And I think a lot of us have given away our information without thinking about the repercussions, and that's what he wants to push on.
Ian, it's just so much easier to log in via Facebook. I don't want to remember another password.
Well, you know, I don't know if you noticed, a couple of weeks ago, Apple came out with a login system for the phones and the iPad that they're going to offer to developers, and they say it's much more secure. So it may be easier to log in with Facebook, but I think what's going to be interesting is Google, Facebook are both going to get a lot of pressure from Apple now to try and offer a much more secure and less kind of data leaky login system. So all of us are going to benefit from that, I hope.
We talk a lot about 5G and how 5G is coming and how it's going to change the world, really. And I know there's a lengthy piece up online at CNET.com about it's up and running in Britain. So you had a reporter there sort of checking it around the city. Interesting to read around the country. Pronounce me the Chinese company, Huawei, right? That's the Huawei. I always get that wrong.
Huawei.
Yeah.
So,
but they're involved in the 5G technology, right? They want to be in the U.S., and the U.S. is sort of putting the brakes on it. I'm not sure I understand the danger of Huawei yet.
Well, actually, none of us do. That's probably the weirdest thing about it. So the U.S. government has been pushing on this idea that this company, Huawei, which is one of the largest telecom companies on the planet, they're very popular from the Chinese government. And part of the reason that they're popular is that they offer good quality technology, a lot of people tell us, for much cheaper than their competitors. So the concern that the U.S. government has said is that they are also in bed with the Chinese government,
right, so,
and that their technology could be used to hack.
Right, so they could be coming in here and sneaking in technology that's going to spy on us. And so now the government says FedEx has to divert their packages, and FedEx is suing the government?
Yeah, because they say it's too much of a burden. You know,
right.
the FedEx says, look,
because they don't know what's in the box.
If you have this ban, right? Yeah, the government has this ban on Huawei technology, and all of these companies are expected to comply. And you can get really bad fines or worse if you don't comply. But that means FedEx could be the one shipping in this information, right? And they say, look, we shouldn't have to check every package to see whether or not it passes muster with your thing that you don't like this week. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how that lawsuit goes through, because it could cause FedEx to have to do a lot more work.
So,
but also it might force the U.S. government to actually tell us what's wrong with Huawei, because they actually haven't given us any facts or any proof of their concerns yet.
I hadn't really thought of it before. So if I wanted to ship opium across the country and I used a FedEx box, FedEx could be liable for that?
Well, in theory, this is something that actually, I'm sure you remember from the 90s, there was the stereotype of the Wall Street trader who was getting their drugs via FedEx and stuff like that. Like, this is something that oftentimes, FedEx is moving so many packages, they can't track every one of them. So the concern that FedEx has,
that's what I'm banking on. Ian Schur is on a phone line. He's a senior editor at CNET.com. And Ian, Amazon Prime Day is probably the most brilliant thing in the history of the world.
It's very smart, yes.
I mean, because it gets, first of all, well, let's talk about that. I mean, I always think, oh, I'm getting so excited. It's like Christmas time. I get excited. I'm going to go buy stuff. Or it's like Black Friday. I'm going to go buy stuff. And then I never really do. But is Amazon Prime Day, from Amazon's viewpoint, more about selling things or more about selling us, as in getting us to join, getting us to renew, and getting a hold of us for a whole nother year?
You nailed it. It's really about the second thing. It's really about getting us to renew our Prime memberships, because those things are very lucrative. I don't know if you watch the economics of Costco, but one of the things about Costco is that a lot of their profits come from their subscriptions, right, from the people paying those annual memberships. And this for Amazon has been a big deal. So this is not just a big Christmas in July type sales event, which they have turned into a cultural phenomenon by sheer will, which is rather amazing to watch.
It really is phenomenal what they've created.
Yeah.
Something out of nothing, and it's just a force. So every year, the Prime Day, now it's 2 days this year, so it'll be a little different, but breaks their sales record, and then the following that's broken then again on Cyber Monday. Is that the way the cycle has been going?
So far, yep.
So I mean, think of that. Every year they're breaking the record. They're breaking their sales record twice every year on Amazon Prime Day, and then again on Cyber Monday. It's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, no, and it shows how e-commerce has really become such a big thing for us. How it's changing consumer behavior, right? I mean, the idea that they're going to have a million deals, they say, during this big event, you know, July 15th through the 17th, which, you know, I mean, I can't even fathom a million things I would ever buy. But, you know, the funny part also is that there's this, like, cottage industry, which we at CNET are a part of as well, who helped to sort through the deals and find the best of whatever deals there are out there. So it's kind of funny how it's become its own thing as the last couple of years has gone through.
Okay, so I just want to buy something, okay? I want to buy something. I don't know what I want. How do I figure out what I want to buy?
Well, I mean, one easy way is to follow us over at CNET. We'll have a lot of the best deals that we, you know, we're going to sort through all of them. We have a team of people. This is what's crazy about it, right? We're going to have a team of people actually watching the deals as they happen, identifying the best ones, identifying them for you. We'll have Twitter accounts, and we're not the only ones. The New York Times is doing it. You've got Gizmodo. A lot of the tech sites are doing it. It's really fascinating how many people have devoted their time to just finding the best deals on top of buying them in the first place.
Okay, and so, and again, if you're listening, so step back and look at that. What Amazon has done has created something where all major media outlets now are reporting on or helping Amazon sell more stuff.
Yeah, in a way. And it's a really, like I said, it's a really fascinating cultural shift. And a lot of it kind of, you know, a lot of it comes from the recession, right? And when there was a lot of stuff around Groupon and all of that type of stuff, and there was a lot of interest. And I think that's what's held over, is that a lot of people are still interested in getting those good deals. But now that we're all going e-commerce and everything, and Amazon's gotten so big, it's all shifted over to that.
Oh, I just want to buy stuff, Ian. I'm just going to spend that day buying stuff. But it's not like I can't say, well, I want a trampoline, and then I'm going to hunt up trampolines, right? I could do that, but the specials sort of come and go through the period.
They do, but there are ways to actually find the best deal on your trampoline. There are a number of tools out there that we've identified, and we actually have a really good list of like how to prepare. Because again, right, we want to help you.
Yeah.
So there's an app out there called Camel, which I'm a big fan of, where you can actually tell it to track a certain item on Amazon and tell you when the price drops a certain amount, and you can grab it right before the price.
And what is that called?
That's the other thing.
It's called Camel. Like the desert animal?
Like the animal.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Camel, three times. And there's a number of other ones out there. There's another one called Honey. There's a bunch of them that we have linked to on CNET. But, that's the thing is that, you know, used to be you would sort through the Sunday morning paper and find the best, you know, the best stuff. Now it's all online, but there are tools out there to help you, just like it used to be that you had to sort through all those papers.
So Camel. That's if I'm looking for something specific. I don't know what I want to buy yet. I know I just want to buy something. So I have to go to CNET or other places.
You follow me.
Yeah, and then you'll tell me what to buy.
Us.
Okay. What do we know?
Exactly.
Do we know what some of the deals are going to be yet?
Yeah, we have a couple of, you know, they haven't told us all the deals that are going to go on, but we do know that there are companies that have already identified their deals that they're doing. So they're doing pre-Christmas in July deals, right? Pre-Prime deal. So there's stuff like some TVs that are nearly half off. You know, there's a door opener that we identified. You know, you can even Apple's AirPods, which are kind of their own cultural phenomenon. They're going on sale a little bit. So there's a bunch of stuff. Again, we've got a nice little list on CNET, but there are definitely people doing that.
I don't need a new TV, but I might buy one anyway.
You can never have enough these days, I guess.
We'll talk again before it happens. Thanks for joining us today, Ian. I appreciate it.
Of course. Take care.
Thanks very much, Jen DeSalvo. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, so you know you're sitting there waiting for the train to cross in front of you, the coal train or the freight train, the long train. It's pretty simple technology, right? You put the coal in the back, you sit someone in the engine up front, and then you just ride to Canada or Texas or wherever you're going to go. That's really not the case. There's a lot more inside, as of course I'm sure you realize. And one of the guys putting the stuff inside is Larry Jordan. He's the president and chief technology officer at Y-tronics, and he joins us on a phone line now. Larry, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hi, Steve. It's a pleasure to be on today with you.
I'm glad you're here. Listen, I love your story. You were an intern. You sort of fell in love with train technology, found yourself looking for work after time, got a Small Business Administration loan, and started your own business, right?
Yeah, Y-tronics, the business that I founded, we are based in Bolingbrook, and yeah, we've grown over the last 15 years, and to really excited about a third of the locomotives in North America have our systems.
That's a pretty phenomenal thing. How is it that you were able to grow so fast?
Well, I'm a technologist at heart, and one of the things that's really exciting about the rail industry is that rail led technology, you know, back 150 years ago, but has continued to deploy technology. And so to take things that sometimes change every 18 months and deploy that to an industry that's frankly the artery of commerce, it's just a really good mix of technology and very impactful work for society as a whole.
But trains have been around forever, and from what I read, the train, the industry, the freight industry via rail, it's kind of slow to react sometimes, or likes the old ways more than the new sometimes.
Yeah, when you are a railroad that's, or when you're an industry that has so steeped in tradition and so on, sometimes it's hard to get rolling. And part of what they do, so much is massive capital investments over a long time. So it's this mix of things that are changing very quickly with rail capital assets that maybe depreciate over, you know, 50 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, so tell me about the big product is Violet, correct? I mean, is that sort of, it's more than just a black box for locomotives, but that's part of it.
Yeah, so our system, Violet, we are the black box on the locomotive, so like the flight data recorder, but we also, so we record all the data that's occurring, and our Violet Edge platform also includes vision systems. So we have cameras and AI to determine, you know, what's going on. Ultimately, what we do is we help railroads operate safely, efficiently, and reliably. And, you know, just like when you're operating a car, you can operate a car very efficiently or very inefficiently. So we help our customers, the railroads, you know, achieve really amazing efficiencies and safety levels.
And you're in Bolingbrook, as you said. And did I read somewhere? Did you just tell me about 125 employees?
Yeah, we have around 125 employees with all kinds of disciplines, everything from the latest, you know, data science work and working and on IoT platforms and just a tremendous amount of great technology.
All right, let's talk trains and just their impact on this country, because, you know, I think mostly we just get, unless we ride a train to work, it can be an annoyance because we want to cross the tracks and there's a freight train crossing in front of us. But when you look at the big picture of it, the rail industry is probably not getting its due for most of us.
Yeah, as you said, we see this train that's just blocking our way, but every day in the United States, $50 billion worth of goods are transported via rail, and this is done in a very safe and efficient way.
And so, how about passengers? If you were to ask most people, I think you would say that, you know, we're not a train riding country. I spend a few weeks in Europe every year, and man, they're all over the trains there. We don't do it so much here. But then I read some of the statistics, and maybe we're more likely to ride a train than I thought.
Yeah, certainly there are some. If we're going between cities, there's not as much rail usage. But if we look at the number of public transit trips that happen on a daily basis, just a tad under half are via rail, and if you look at it from a miles perspective, you know, more than half. So when we look at public transit, You know, it's there. Dominated, or at least a big portion of that is rail.
And when it comes to freight, is it cheaper to ship things across country via rail than it is to drive them via truck?
Yeah, absolutely. The efficiency of rail, they can move a ton of freight over 450 miles on a single gallon of diesel fuel. So it's tremendously efficient, and not only more efficient, you know, efficiency from fuel efficiency also drives, you know, the environmental impact. So if we look at rail, you know, they move about 40% of freight within the United States, but only generate 8% of the carbon emissions. So
wow.
Not only, you know, and that ties, if it's efficient from a cost perspective, you know, oftentimes it has direct correlation to environmental footprint.
So what's the benefit of a truck? I mean, I obviously one would be sort of the last mile. We talk about the last mile in commuting, but a truck can go directly to a facility, drop the load off there. I would imagine via rail, the truck's got to go to the rail yard, pick up the goods, and then bring it to a facility.
Yeah, certainly a rail and the intermodal aspects of trucks coordinating with rail. And when we look at the global economy as a whole, it's really truck, rail, marine, you know, right. Back to rail, and then the truck. So it's an integrated intermodal system, and rail is kind of at the linchpin of that overall system.
Okay, so if I'm looking at this product, Violet, you talked about how you've got software for cameras, it's the black box, it's all of that. It sounds like you're moving toward autonomous train movement. I mean, is that in your future, driverless trains?
Yes, yeah, definitely. We see autonomy in transport overall is really key to improving the efficiency and frankly, driving our overall standard of living to higher levels. And so autonomous technology that we're seeing in passenger vehicles and in trucks, it's here, and it's going to be more pervasive in the coming years. In rail space, there's already autonomous train operations that fully automatic in Australia.
Really?
And some mining operations. So, yeah, it's moving a lot of parallels that are happening in rail and in passenger and truck transport as far as autonomy goes.
Larry Jordan is the president and CTO, and don't overlook CTO because he's got some patents in his name as well, of Y-tronics. Larry, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
You bet. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Salesforce seems like it's been in every single city, changing the way we do business forever. But they've actually only been around since 1999, and they've done a lot in those 20 years. Most recently here in Chicago, they're giving back to the community by giving $1 million to CPS schools and a company called IC Stars. It's a technology-based development and leadership training program for low-income adults. The Chicago-based company is a pretty exclusive course that seeks results and change. Out of 400 applicants, they only accept 20, but according to their website, on average, trainee salary quadruples after completing their program. I say we quadruple everybody's salary, so it's great news for them. But it hasn't been great news lately for Sears retirees. News popped up recently of claims that Sears is holding out on paying retiree life insurance policies. It sounds pretty harsh, but according to the Department of Labor, there are ways for Sears to avoid paying this. The Sears saga continues. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Steve Bertrand, here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Amy Guth is in the studio. She is the host of The Daily Gist, the podcast from Crane Chicago Business and WGN Radio. Welcome back, Amy.
Hello.
Okay, so let's go create some new frozen food.
I'm into it.
We got a place.
We got a place.
Tell me about this.
So there is, you know, I'm sure you've driven by this many times. It's on the northwest side. It's the old Zenith Electronics building.
Massive place.
Huge place. It's, I can't remember the square footage on it, but it's a big one. It's a 117,000 square foot facility. It's up there in the Belmont-Cragen neighborhood. So they just got the last bit of financing they needed from JP Morgan Chase to turn it into a food incubator. So a barrier to small businesses with food. Turns out Illinois has one of the toughest, or up to now, had one of the toughest cottage industry laws. So if you were making like jam or something,
right,
it was really difficult. You couldn't,
had to be in a commercial kitchen and things like that.
Exactly. Right. You have to have refrigeration and all that stuff. So this is what this incubator does. So you can scale your business, take it up to the next level, and make it on a bigger scale. And so they have this company that is doing this. They're called Amped Kitchens. Mm-hmm. They have two facilities in LA already, one of which is what was where the Beyond Burger was born.
Oh, Beyond Meat?
Yeah.
Nice.
So there's high hopes. I mean, that's a very good stock to have right now. So
what is it? You would go to this facility, you would rent some space, you'd develop, and then presumably, if you do well, then you move out and get your own.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a little bit lower cost for an entrepreneur who can't necessarily go rent a whole commercial kitchen and doesn't necessarily need it. They're just doing a small run of something, trying to get that market share. So here's one, and it's a shared space, and you can rent these like little mini kitchens because some people just need a freezer.
Right.
Some people just need...
Some people just need to chill out somewhere.
Some people just need to chill.
And now we've got a spot.
That's right.
All right. So we'll work on a popsicle, maybe a unique flavored popsicle. You come up with the flavor, okay? I've got the concept. You hone in on the development.
I'm on it.
Amy Guth, check out the Daily Gist when it drops a little bit later this afternoon. Subscribe, for goodness sakes. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.